Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres go back to work, though. Here's Matteo Constantini, 2-on-1, leaving it across the shot, and a goal! Buffalo getting the goal, Olivier Nadeau, as Matteo Constantini broke out with speed, and Olivier Nadeau goes to the net, gets rewarded, and the Sabres cut into the deficit. It's now 4-2.
Brayden Wilson there on the call for the Prospects Challenge. Owen, you were there, right? Prospects Challenge? And, the Sabres lost all their games in the Prospect Challenge?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Prospect Challenge, you know.
Yeah, they didn't win. They didn't win a game.
They didn't win. They play a preseason game in less than a week.
6 days. Next Monday, they'll be in Columbus. And then a week from tonight, they play Columbus at home. So you can go to the arena in 1 week and watch hockey, if you'd like.
I think I would like.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, why not? Right?
I mean, you get excited?
Preseason hockey. Hey, let's play the game. Remember Josh Norris? I mean, hey, it could be a thing, right?
What number is he wearing now?
9.
Yes.
He's wearing 9.
He switched since the last time we brought him up, I think.
That's right.
I think that was since then.
That's right. The Sabres are also taking submissions for a new goal song this year.
Yes, they are, which I know what you're going to vote for.
The only song that's ever been perfect for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just saying, as soon as they want to right this wrong, they played it in a year most recently that they did make the playoffs. And they haven't made the playoffs since. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Swords of 1,000 men.
There was a guy with an old Eichel jersey yesterday at the Prospects Challenge with Benson taped over that, and then Benson crossed out and Norris just written on the jersey. It's pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Nines had a bunch of times. My brother had a Derrick Roy jersey that the Sabre store would switch to Steve Ott when they traded for him.
I'm going back to Eric Rasmussen. Didn't he wear number 9?
Yes, he did.
I think so.
Yes, he did. And then you had Kane. Eichel. Yeah, so there's been a 9 really the whole time. It's a good number.
It is.
It is a good number.
It's a good hockey number.
Yes.
And now their most highly paid forward's wearing it.
Yeah.
So, and probably also their number 1 center going into the year.
Right. So, you know, the thing about the Swords of 1,000 Men and the goal song is, you know, you'll have people say, like, oh, it's cheesy. It's just, I would just, every once in a while, I like to bring up an idea here. Imagine introducing the shout song today.
Oh, it'd be a disaster.
Imagine.
I would be hard against
it. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know that song, Shout? We're going to sing that, and then we're going to say, the Bills make me want to shout.
And it's also going to be like a karaoke version.
Yes, we're all going to sing along to it.
Yeah.
You would be thrown out of the building.
That's the cheesiest thing
of all time. Get out of here. You're a loser.
Yeah. If it was the original Isley Brothers, like, I would maybe fight for it. But not the... It's like, it sounds like an 80s karaoke song, right? That they have?
I don't know.
It's not the one you would hear at a wedding.
No, that's right.
Or that you heard in like the opening of Wedding Crashers. It's not that one. So if it was that one, I could see that. But no, not like changing the lyrics and having it be what it is now. But it's great, right? Like, because it's tradition. It's cemented itself in tradition. And you're saying that would be Swords of 1,000 Men?
Well, if you're just someone that wants to think it's lame, it's cheesy, and you want to make fun of it. There's an old proverb, Joe. You know what they say? Something along the lines of this. The best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The second best time is today. You can't grow a tradition without starting it. And Swords of a Thousand Men is, of course, the right song for the goal song for the Buffalo Sabres. And it would be amazing, and it would be great, and we'd all be singing hoorah, hoorah, and they'd make the playoffs. That's it. Make the change, make the playoffs. That's it. Come on. It's easy as that. We'll play the song probably next week or later in the week.
If they make the playoffs, they could have anything they want be the goal song, and I would be okay with it.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
The worst song imaginable.
Is there a bridge too
What's
far
New
here?
Pussycat by Tom Jones could be their goal song if they make the playoffs.
That the worst you could think of?
Yeah. Off the top of my head, that'd be a terrible goal song.
They are ditching Kickstart My Heart, which did not last long.
Which is probably good because I don't really think it's a great goal song.
No, it was
fine. It's a good arena song, beginning of a game.
Yes, it was an odd choice for a goal song. It wasn't the worst ever. It just kind of felt out of place.
Right.
But we'll see what they go for. I also like going away from individual goal songs. I know that was a really hot thing in the NHL.
Yeah.
And it's a cool idea, but I want the whole concept to be we all know what's coming and it starts to build. They've scored a lot of goals. That's not been a problem for them. They score goals. We should have a song that we all know. This is where we say it can't be the shout song, right?
Can't be the shout song.
Can't.
No, absolutely not.
Some people do want that.
No, that's bad.
Can't be the shout
song. Can't be the shout song and it can't be Mr. Brightside.
No.
Because we're going to it's getting overplayed. That's my greatest fear. I don't want that song being overplayed. If it comes on now on the radio or if I've got a playlist on and that comes on, I'm skipping it.
You skip Mr. Brightside?
Because I'm hearing it too much. And I think it's the Bills that are doing it. They're trying to make that a tradition, right? And that's good. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying not to have that be overplayed. And I saw a lot of people voting for that as the goal song. No. This is too much. One too many.
No, that's not going to work.
We're doing it too much.
803-0550 to join us if you want. Any takeaways from the prospects challenge?
Good.
Speaking on the Sabres real quick, Georgiev signed. We didn't get you on as a goalie for Alexander Georgiev.
Yeah.
I saw yesterday Elliot Friedman talking about on his 32 Thoughts podcast, suggesting that Lukanen is hurt.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a tweak that they're just not really sure about yet.
Matthew
Fairburn had that last week, too.
Okay.
He's got an injury. They don't know what the timeline is. They did call it a tweak.
Yeah, and but Friedman went out of his way to say they're not saying he is hurt. They're saying they don't know.
Exactly.
They don't know. They're kind of waiting, and that's where Georgiev signed, and Friedman went so far as to say, you'll notice Georgiev didn't get the NHL minimum. He got a little more,
right,
which is usually an indication that the team says, we have to get this done.
Yeah. When that signing first came through, I was confused and then thought, well, they need somebody, they're trying to get depth for Rochester. They're just trying to make sure if they want to keep Levi down there that they don't need to call him up if Lyon or UPL gets hurt. And then this came out about UPL, and it's a little cloudier on what exactly Georgiev is going to do for them. I don't love it because I don't think he's an NHL-level goaltender anymore. He was great in New York when he started off and has really struggled ever since then. It's been bad for him. So I would be concerned if their plan is for him to play games in the season, especially early when they need to start off well. The Georgiev thing is an interesting move. And then prospects challenge wise, yesterday I called the game with Brayton and Paul. Milos looked good. He gave up a lot of goals, but not really anything he could have done about much of any of them. It was a couple of backdoor plays and some weird bounces.
Who's this? Who looked good?
Samuel Milosh, their fifth round, I believe, pick from this season. He played the whole game yesterday. The plan was for him to split with Raslav. Raslav did not play any games in this tournament because he was sick, so we did not get to see him. But it was interesting. They were winless, like I mentioned, and the top guys didn't do a whole lot. Like Rosén, Hellenius, Wahlberg, those guys didn't look as dominant as you would hope that they would in a setting like this. It was more the depth pieces that did stuff for the Sabres.
Mertko looked good in the first game.
Looked good in the first game. He looked good yesterday when I saw him, really solid, just confident, good with the puck, can really skate, and made a couple of nice hits. And it was, you know, you try not to take too much out of these prospects challenge.
No, the number one way to win a prospects challenge, I think, sorry to be snarky here, is to hit people.
Yeah.
That's how you win. You come away with four hits, people walk out of that building like, I'll tell you, I like that guy. He hit people.
Yeah, people still remember the name Matej Pekar, who never played a single game for the Sabres.
Right.
He
hit guys. Because of that. He mixed it up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they looked dangerous. The Hellenius yesterday was dominant. Looked really good. Didn't end up scoring. He had an assist. But he looked really, really good. It seemed kind of like every game there was a different sort of star of the show. And yesterday for me, that was Hellenius. Rusinski was good yesterday, too.
On Georgiev, I think he's going to play.
And that scares me.
I don't think you sign him. I like to take it from the player's perspective. Is he coming to the Buffalo Sabres if he thinks he's playing in the AHL? He wasn't good last year. He was horrible last year.
Yeah.
He's played the fifth most games in the National Hockey League in the last three seasons. And not to make like a judgment just on where the guy's from, but where do those Eastern European guys generally go when they're out of options in the NHL? They don't go be an AHL backup. They go to the KHL or they go to the Finnish League, which is where he's been before.
Yeah.
So that's where I believe he's not signing up to be Devin Levi's backup in Rochester.
The extra money indicates that too, and not that it's a lot, but it's something. And I don't think you're giving that to a guy that's going to just stick around in the AHL and help out your developing goaltender.
And listen, I'm not telling you he's been good at all in the last 3 years, but whether it's save percentage, whether it's goal saved above expected, you want to look at delta save percent, every single number, maybe not every single number, but a lot of the numbers you'll find in the last three seasons, he's better than UPL.
Yeah, that's the, you know, the thing is that they don't have a lot to do, like they don't have a lot there in terms of high level play. And so you sign a guy like this, and I think on most teams you would be like, he's going to not play for the team. But because they are where they're at in net and they don't want to force Levi into it, they're in a position where they're in the bargain bin looking for a guy that's been bad for the last couple of years.
Whatever, throw a dart, and if Lukanen's back and he doesn't have a spot, then he'll go over to Europe.
Right.
See my tweet about the Sabres the other day, by the way, very quick?
Which one?
When they sign Alex Tuck, if it's $8.3 million or more, they'll have the most cap spent for next season in the NHL. Already committed to next season.
Yeah,
the moment they sign Tuck, they're going to be number one in the NHL in dollars already committed by next season. Which I don't know whether that makes me feel good or bad, because I guess good because, okay, they actually are spending money, but also bad because they're spending money on what?
Right. They're spending the money because they've got guys locked up because they locked them up early.
It's time to pay guys.
Right, and now it's just that the toll is due. And, you know, they have the most for next year because they probably won't, you know, they're going to have to not do a lot because they're going to have less cap space than everybody else. So they're going to go in, no matter what happens this year, with less room to work with to change over the team unless there are massive overhauls coming, which is possible. That's your way out of that. So I did see that, Joe, and I thought about that in the same way. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. You need to see how it goes this year to know how you feel about that, I think.
803-0550. Sabre season approaches.
1 week.
Here we go.
And how long until the season opener against the Rangers? It's October 9th.
Yeah, 9th.
So less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, up on you. Go ahead and take a guess at who starts in goal their first night. It's not easy.
No, it's not, because is it Alex Lyon?
It's probably Alex Lyon.
It's going to be Lyon.
Right now, you made me bet I'd pick him.
Because UPL's tweaked, if he's in fact tweaked.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll find out more. They start training camp Wednesday. And if he's on the ice already, he's just kind of managing it, I would expect him to start the season.
Let's have tomorrow go better than day one of training camp last year. Remember what happened day one of training camp last year? 90 seconds in, Rasmus Dahlin got hurt.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's just have it go better than that, and it'll be a good day.
Absolutely.
I don't remember that.
He got hurt a minute in.
Yeah.
A minute into the first, I think you might have been off that day, because we were on the air, and it's like, all right, Sabres are hitting the ice, and like it was the consecutive tweets of they're on the ice for practice, Dahlin's hurt. Like, what? Of course, right?
Yeah, that's tough. What else? I had something else on the Sabres. I forget what it was.
The cap going up double in the next 10 years? That was another report from yesterday.
Double, huh?
It'll double in the next 10 years.
Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
You know, I always look forward to Tuesdays because Howard picked the Bills, so I wanted to recap, and I need you guys to do me a favor, all right? The whiteboard. I want you to put Rob from Connecticut predicts 14-3, and we're going to lose to Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and the Eagles. That's my prediction. And when he picked 12-5 last week, I was giving him the sideways look, just like you did, Jeremy, when he said Houston was going to beat us. So you got to put that on the board for me. 14-3 is what I'm sticking with. Mm-hmm. Bijan Robinson scares me. Baker Mayfield has ice in his veins. And then you got the Eagles with Hurst and Barkley. Those are the only three teams that I think are possibly capable of beating us this year. With that, we'll get the number one seed, and we will be going to the Super Bowl. I have it. I have it. I feel it. I know it's there. This is our year. So thanks, guys, for everything.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, Tampa could be – it's at home, though. It's one of their toughest games on the schedule. And a little of that goes to just how easy their schedule is. That's a good team, but that is not – that's not a team we're talking about meeting in the Super Bowl.
No. No, I don't think so.
So, it's really set up for them. It's all really just – it's that Baltimore win is so critical to that. If they were a game back of the Ravens and the Ravens had a tiebreaker, you'd still feel like you're alive because you have an easier schedule than they do.
Yeah, for sure.
And their division is tougher. But with all that and you have the lead, that's just – I mean, you can't lose it. This is the year you can't lose it. You can't have dumb losses to bad teams like when you lost to Urban Meyer or when you lost to Belichick with Mac Jones in the wind. Like you cannot have dumb losses this year because that's all you would have. How many losses could they have that wouldn't be labeled a dumb loss? It's like all but four games, right? Any division game might be labeled as a dumb loss.
Yeah, I think so.
They're going to be favored by 10 points against every team in the division the rest of the season.
What'll the spread be against the Patriots?
10.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably.
Maybe not at New England. Here, it'll be at least double digits, I think.
The tush-push conversation is back on ESPN. They put up on the screen because we talked about it a little earlier. They were two votes shy of banning it. So they've got to convince two owners to get rid of it. Two more.
Well, now the added element is that the Eagles are being caught cheating on the tush push that is, it is legal. They're making the legal play illegal by the guards leaving early. So that's the new part of it, which I don't know how you correct that without banning the play, which is why it just feels like you should just ban the pushing from behind at least.
Yeah, I'm not sure they need the pushing from behind because of the way they shot forward ahead of the snap count in this game against the Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
One thing, I had someone write to me, and I hated the idea but had to acknowledge that it might be legit. Are you ready for like a VAR system that prevents linemen from crossing the line of scrimmage before the snap?
Make that reviewable?
Hawkeye. If Hawkeye can draw the line, the whole idea is Hawkeye draws the line. Now at the snap, Hawkeye said you're offside. Can't do that. Now, everything involving a review, I loathe. Uh-huh. I can't stomach it. I want no more instances, no more opportunities for there to be reviews and things to talk about. In fact, the ACC now has this thing where they go inside the booth and they go into the director of the game and they're calling for camera shots. Did you see this on display?
No, you've seen it so far?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it live yet.
The number of people that think it is good is jarring to me. It's a horrendous development. Oh, now I've got transparency. Nothing is different. I'd love to know how Bills fans would talk about Music City Miracle if they could have just watched the officials talk about the review. How would you feel about it? Oh, now I feel like it was transparent. I'm okay with it. No. You'd think they got the call wrong, and now you'd hear the people talking about it for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The ACC has done this. Broadcasts with, it's terrible. Because, again, what it mainly will do is it gives the illusion of better officiating.
Mm-hmm.
You will still be mad. Now they feel like it's okay to spend 4 minutes on this review because now we're watching the officials talk about it.
We're making it a show.
It's right, yeah. part of the show. Yeah. The officials have – this is my take where you've got people that think if NFL players did not wear helmets, there'd be fewer concussions. You know, like it's a counterintuitive take.
Yeah.
Some people believe that because you'd play differently. This is my take version of that, which is putting officials on television has made officiating worse. It's made you more upset about officiating because it gives the illusion of we need to get into these calls more. We need to have the officials be stars of the show. And it has been the opposite effect as intended. What's the best one they've got? Sky Judge. What's that? Nobody comes on the screen. Nobody does anything.
Right.
It's looks like that foot's out of bounds. And the official just comes out and says, yeah, it turns out he's out of bounds.
Right.
That's
and we move on into 1 second.
That's the positive development.
Yeah.
Not technical director going, hold on, let me get that overhead.
Right.
I'll get the video for you. We'll play the audio. That's how it sounds. Hold on, yeah. Yeah, I'm not seeing control. You guys see it? Yeah, I don't know. Give me the other camera angle. They switch to another camera angle where you can't see anything.
Right.
Now you spend 10 seconds. No, go back to the other one. Can I have the other one? Yeah, give me back the other one. This is happening on the broadcast. This is not a positive development.
Mm-hmm.
How have they convinced you this is good? It's transparency. Anyway, how'd I get on this tangent?
Tush push. And reviewing whether guards leave early.
Right. And the Hawkeye technology for the
guards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not in for that.
.8030550. We'll get a break in and maybe we'll play that audio for you so you can go insane with me. It's not me signing up to say, like, listen, this audio is terrible. This is bad on television. Here it is on radio. Listen to how bad it is. I might have the minority opinion, though. I got plenty of people writing back to me like, actually, I like this. I think it's good. I don't believe you. I don't believe that you will like it. I don't believe you will like it when they review to see if Josh Allen got the first down in Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, and you can hear the officials say, I don't see it. I don't think you'll feel better. I think you'll feel worse.
Right.
Anyway. Break time. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
I'm looking at program A.
Hey, Todd.
B. Yes, hey, Adam.
This is Adam. The ruling on the field is a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to show you two shots. I'm going to show you the handheld. This is the handheld right here. And you can
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
See, he's got a body part down, but his ball is pinned against his lower leg right there with the tops of his hands.
Keep going.
And then he's out there, right? And then he's still fumbling with that ball.
Okay, on that shot right there.
Here's your review happening in the booth.
Control, but he's clearly out.
Do you see a loss of control with a foot in the white?
I don't think he has control there.
I agree with you.
Keep going. Don't cut it short. Definitely don't cut it short. It keeps going. They go to another camera angle. They've already both agreed on the call. Another camera angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an improvement. Not an improvement.
Yeah, because they're really not
doing anything different than Gene Steratore is doing. They're doing not. It's
right.
The difference is it's you remove Steratore and you get the official, and the official makes the call. And if you think the official's wrong, Nothing's different.
Yeah, I guess it's lesser of two evils for me, though. I would prefer that over Gene's territory.
It's a minute and a half on whether or not a receiver got a foot down and bounce, and you can see it in 1 second.
That's too much. Because those rules guys aren't talking for 90 seconds straight, right?
Right.
So I guess it's longer. But if I'm going to get like 20 seconds of something, I'd rather have the actual conversation than the rules guy guessing at what the actual conversation is. But I'd rather just not have any of it. I'd rather just have them decide quickly and tell us through the ref on the field. That's it. Just have the color guy talk about it.
Yeah. Well, or just, I don't know, don't review everything. College football games last 4 hours anyway. They're long.
Is there an increase in commercials?
The clock stops on first downs, so that does it. Tons of reviews. College football is like, went to a review process and a college football game broke out, you know, one of those. Mm. Anyway, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills and the Dolphins, Thursday night football. Get excited.
Total dominance by the Bills over the Dolphins in the last like 5 years. This is the first time going in where it's like everybody agrees this one's going to be a blowout. Hasn't there always been a little bit of debate about like, you know, this might be the time the Dolphins actually can pull it off. They're better than they've been, or, you know, like the 70-point game going in, of course, was the extreme of this. This one's just nobody thinks they have a chance. And that's different. Like, it was usually just polarizing, I think, whether or not people thought Miami had a chance against the Bills going into a game.
That's probably where some people would get to a, I'm nervous about it now.
Because this would be the time they would lose it?
Yeah.
I don't see how it happens. What are they good at? Tell me one thing right now Miami is good at. Worst secondary in the league.
Their defense is a mess.
Defensive line is hurt. Offensive line is horrible. I would tell you that their receivers are their strength, but you can't get them the ball more than 5 yards down the field anymore.
Jalen Waddle caught a touchdown. Welcome back to – he's out of retirement.
That's good.
He was retired last year.
He's hurt up and down all
he
the time.
He has been hurt a lot.
But I guess he's healthy now.
But he went 9 for – on the year, he's got 9 catches, 98 yards, and a touchdown.
I mean, they're pulling tight ends out of retirement to start for them. And Waller just like – I don't know what – the quarterback, they're so protective over how they play him because they know he can't get hit. Just – there's nothing. There's nothing I'm afraid of. Achane maybe a little bit, but like – He's got a line behind him to block. So I don't see how they would do it. I don't see how they would pull the upset on the Bills.
Yeah, what's the path to doing
like,
it?
The Jets I could get to, well, you know, they could run the ball and Fields is really athletic and Breece Hall averages 6.5 yards against the Bills. And look at some of the pieces. They have some stars on defense, even if it's not complete. Like, I could talk myself into the Jets being competitive. That didn't happen. I don't even know where I would start talking myself into Miami's going to be competitive.
We've got to do an update to former Bill, future Bill. There's an update.
Who'd they sign?
They didn't sign anybody.
Okay.
But somebody on my former Bill, future Bill roster has landed with another team.
Oh, that's not good for you.
No, it's not. I gotta cut Mike White, and I got to go to waivers.
Where'd Mike White go?
Cincinnati. He just landed with the Bengals.
Okay.
So Mike White's in Cincinnati. Also, Joe Calley producing. Is Joe taking over Josh's team? Josh no longer with us here producing in the morning. Josh, we could still have Josh have his team, co-manage it.
Yeah. He could sell his team to Joe for some more cake for
like
Friday.
A relocation fee.
A relocation fee, yeah.
So yeah. What? It's a...
You would have a team of former Bills.
Okay.
Predicting they will become Bills again.
Gotcha.
Basically.
Okay.
I don't remember who's on Josh's team, but... He had Rasul Douglas, and that's not going to happen because he is still on the Dolphins.
Yes, he is.
I mean, you weren't really thinking about Mike White coming back anytime soon, right?
Sure I was.
For what?
If Trubisky got popped in that one snap he was in, Mike White is right back on this team.
I mean, after he throws a dime to Josh Palmer, I mean, that is some job security for the year from Trubisky. It's the only thing we'll see him do.
That's right. I don't even know who would be a good pick at this point on former Bill, future Bill. We got... On a roster, Ryan Bates, KJ Hamler, Quentin Jefferson, Harrison Phillips, Saran Neal, Ili Iancu, Kingsley Jonathan, Zach Davidson, Quentin Morris, Levi Wallace, and Isaiah McKenzie. Dean Marlowe is the best free agent out
well,
there.
Well, Isaiah McKenzie did have the talk. Sean McDermott said at a press conference this week or last week that he had heard from McKenzie and he knows he wants to be on the team.
Yeah.
But he was kind of laughing about it. Like, I don't think that's in the cards. So probably not him. Yeah, who would you want right now in free agency? Yeah, we forgot to get cut. Amari Cooper coming out of retirement. There you go. Someone gets hurt. Amari Cooper.
I mean, Gabe Davis is right there ready for the call.
I forgot Gabe Davis was on the team for a second.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. The Chiefs are not favored. They are underdogs to win their division. You love to see it. You really do.
So, let's talk about this for a second. They could go on the road in week one. Doesn't that make it even more important to get the one seed if the Chiefs aren't going to win their division?
Yeah, because they're going to be favored to knock somebody off. If you're the two, you're playing the Chiefs. And if you're the one, you'll probably avoid them. Well,
you might play them in the second.
You might play them in week two.
Well, unless you believe, you know, if it's Baltimore, Kansas City in week one,
yeah,
and the Ravens take care of business.
You'd love that. Who wouldn't take that right now? Bills one seed, and if you could design the rest of it, it would be Baltimore 2, Kansas City 7.
Oh, absolutely. Right, because you'd expect it would just be a different order. Because if Baltimore wins that game, I'm just waiting for Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, but most likely, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have to deal with Kansas City. That's right. Out.
And here's your perfect scenario. But the Chargers are 3.
Okay.
Then it's Baltimore, LA, and you're playing as the one seed, the winner of the AFC South versus the top wild card.
Right.
And that's going to be Denver and Jacksonville.
See, what's funny, though, is on the flip side, I would take this, obviously, because you get Baltimore out. But if Kansas City was a low seed like that, if they don't win the division, and they pull off an upset against the Ravens, you're playing them in the next round. That would feel like you're playing for the Super Bowl right there, right? Because not that it couldn't lose it. If they were playing the Chiefs in the second round and the Ravens were out, everyone would be thinking they're going to smoke whoever they play in the AFC Championship. Whether that be an AFC South team or the right. Chargers or like imagine the AFC Championship game not being Baltimore or Kansas City. Because that's possible if the Chiefs don't win the division. And it's not something that you ever consider. Because it's always, it'll be Kansas City or Baltimore. But there's a chance that it wouldn't be. You would just need the Chiefs to beat the Ravens.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Approaching NHL season, hockey season, less than a week to get to the preseason opener.
So, Owen, you said training camp starts tomorrow, right? Tomorrow for training camp? So, Alex Tuch, I'm assuming, is going to get that question like immediately. Hey, where's the extension? Right? You were eligible to sign on June 1st, July 1st, and it's August 16th, and nothing. So, I don't know what he'll say about it. He did not really give much optimism at his end-of-season press conference that a deal was about to happen. Right? Like, he made comments like, I don't know, like we haven't talked to my wife about it yet.
That means it's coming today, right?
The extension.
Like, we're going to just say all this, like, it's not going to happen, not going to happen. Why isn't it happening?
Hey, we'll deal with it when you show up. That could be it. Or maybe he wants to see the year. He wants to see what the season looks like before he commits to 7 years.
Who could blame him?
I wouldn't.
Does it come down to whether or not Josh Norris is good? Like, really, if Josh Norris is good, then they'll be good.
You know,
and
a lot really hinges on this Josh Norris.
He's a really
guy, right?
Important player. It's your top six.
Yeah.
You know who
maybe.
I also remembered yesterday is Jason Zucker.
Yes.
Like, had a really good year for them. And if you could follow that up, now they've got some pieces. I don't want to bury them until they're worth burying. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, things could go right for them once, as opposed to Dahlin getting hurt a minute into camp.
Right.
They could just have Jack Quinn look like he's ready for the job again. And they could just have Josh Norris be healthy and train. And, you know, things could go the right way. Yeah. And if things go well, they still might not be good enough to make the playoffs. But things could go well. I know it's a very controversial take about the Sabres.
That like, they could
hey,
go
listen,
well?
Listen, all I'm saying is, things could go well.
But how many things do you really need to go well?
You need goalie to go well.
You need goalie to go well. And how many players in your top six you trust right now? That's the other part. How many things do I need to go well in the top of my lineup that I feel good about their chances? You trust Tage, right?
Yep.
You trust Tuck?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And do you trust Kulik, who had 24 points last year? Do you trust him? Even if I give you that one. All right, Norris and then insert name here for two other spots at the top of my lineup. Could be Quinn, could be Benson, could be Zucker. So I'm not saying it couldn't go well either, but I don't need one thing to go well. I need like five things to go well that you might project wouldn't.
I have plenty of appreciation for like the hockey IQ of Benson. I know there's a lot of stuff to like about him. It's a tough sell for me on like top six, right? That's a real tough
sell.
I mean,
he'll be fighting for it. He'll have to beat out Quinn and Zucker probably, but it's tough because I same thing, like watching him play, he's a step ahead of every other player, but he's also slower and smaller than every other player.
Yeah,
so like, it depends what his summer was. If he put on 20 pounds of muscle and he learned how to shoot,
I mean,
then,
20 pounds of muscle on his frame. Like, that's just...
I don't know. Like
Benson...
It's more about him learning how to shoot for me. Like, he could not shoot his first two seasons.
He would need to double his goal production. And how often does that happen? At 10 goals. If you're a top six, I need you to get 25.
From 19 to 20, maybe that happens a little bit in the league.
It's just a big, big jump.
Yeah.
803-0550, your phone number. Extendo Sports on the way, then we'll pass it off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Does the NFL have a quarterback protection problem? That's up on... On the NFL Get Up Show. Four big quarterbacks are going to miss time, right? Burrow, Jaden Daniels,
yep.
And McCarthy.
And Fields. Jets might be better, though, honestly.
What's the Jaden Daniels injury?
Knee sprain. He got flipped. He took a helmet to the knee. He got flipped on a run. I think he finished the game, but yeah, it's a knee sprain.
Likely to miss this week.
Mariota for Washington.
All right. I feel like last time he played, he did all right.
He did fine. Yeah. Yeah, he was okay. I hope Daniels doesn't start getting injury problems.
Well, it's 2 years now.
He's usually, here's the run here on ESPN. He gets hit. He's very slim for a running quarterback, but he's also very good at, like, he gets out of, he does not take hits. Like, that hit he took against the Packers, that's rare for him.
Yeah, he kind of didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
He's getting away from Micah Parsons and turns forward, and there's a guy right there.
Yep.
Mariota last year, 77% completion percentage, 364, four touchdowns, no picks, and a 131 quarterback rating for Washington.
Okay.
Sneaky pickup?
Yeah, he runs. They're going to throw it a little bit. They lost Eckler for the year, so the ground game is a little injured there.
Yeah.
So I could see that. Wentz for Minnesota, I saw he became, I think it's the second quarterback in NFL history that has started for six teams in 6 years. Can you name all six?
No.
For Wentz?
Oh, the teams? Yes.
Yeah, who are the six teams Wentz has started for in 6 years?
Eagles, Colts.
Yep. That's an order.
Washington.
Washington. That, I thought you might forget Washington.
I got Washington.
Yep.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Wentz.
The other two, these are the tough ones because these are, he's the backup and he played in games that were like end of season, they're resting the starter.
Yeah. He also played for, okay, I'm going divisions here.
You got Eagles, Colts, Commanders. They all planned on him starting.
Yeah.
Remember, he had a winning record for the Colts. He threw 27 touchdowns and 7 picks. But there was something, wasn't there something in the locker room? Like the owner was like, I'm done with this guy. Like, get him out. And then Frank Reich apologized for, like, just, it was beyond his play, I think. Because statistically, he had a fine season in Indy, and that was his last starting job.
I'm not going to get either of these other two. I want to say Jacksonville.
Nope.
No.
He started for a game for the Rams, where he was the backup.
All right.
And then last year, he started that Week 18 game for the Chiefs.
All right.
Where they got smoked by Denver, and he had they did nothing the whole day.
With the Bills and Dolphins on deck, I've got a theory. Rex Ryan and Ryan Fitzpatrick are the yin and yang of Bills legends, and here's what I mean. You had Bills Jets. Whatever happens when the Bills play the Jets, what does Rex do? He turns green. In his heart, Rex Ryan is a Jet.
Sure, right.
He is a Jet.
Absolutely.
What did he predict for Bills Jets on Sunday? Upset special. Jets are going to run all over them, right? Mm-hmm. He is a Jet. And when these, it's like he doesn't even remember playing for the Bills or coaching the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Bills Dolphins on Sunday. Fitz played for both these teams. What happens when the game plays? Bills. These are two men that played for this team and played, or what, a coach, and went to another team in the division also, and they have different legacies post-team. Fitz is hard as always here, and Rex, it's like he forgot it ever happened.
Yeah.
Which is fine. No judgment there.
New take on that Bills-Jets game that kept Fitz out of the playoffs. Was that good because his heart would be more with the Jets had they won it?
That's a good question. If he made the playoffs?
If he had made the playoffs with the Jets, would he look back on his career and go, yeah, Jets. But the Bills kept him from doing that.
That's a good question.
Like, no, you're ours. You're not going to the playoffs. You either do it here or you do it nowhere.
We're back tomorrow. Of course, short week, so injury designations, all that stuff. Like, the Bills are practicing. We're going to find out some more about injuries and see how things go. And Joe Marino joins us from the Locked On Bills podcast. We'll talk about the all 22 of this game we just saw. Plenty going on. Thanks for listening, texting, calling, tweeting, all the good stuff. Cheers on the chat. We're back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.